This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? Then you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 20th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Yuri Perez dominated the Dodgers. Everything you'd ever want. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 10 Ks, 22 whiffs, 39% CSW. Here in a golden goal here. Yeah, this was everything we want from Yuri Perez, right? It was a 30% swing strike rate on the slider. Curve had a ridiculous 58% CSW. His four-seamer, 80% strikes, and the changeup was pretty much shelved. That's not a good pitch. We don't want that. It's all about command, of course, and I hope that we can keep seeing that with Yuri Perez. Keep in mind, in previous starts, it's really just four-seamer slider, and to see that curve step up is a great thing. Just because the Dodgers, it's all good, and to see 90 pitches and not 80 is really cool, too. It's just a matter of consistency, really, and obviously we're going to keep starting Yuri Perez. It's likely not to be repeated in this way, but, you know, this is great, and we hope that it does continue. Jake Irvin surprised us against the Phillies. 6 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. 42% CSW on his curveball he threw over a third of the time, while the four-seamer and sinker each sat over 95 miles per hour. And the thing I've been saying about Jake Irvin is that he needs a third pitch that he can really trust in, right? He has these two fastballs I call kind of one match thing, and then the curveball, and there needs to be something else that really pushes him over the edge. What I haven't really considered is a start like this where Jake Irvin's able to make it actually a triangle that is four seamers upstairs, plus sinkers arm side and curveballs glove side, and actually using them in three different ways. If that is what he does, maybe there is something to squeeze out of this, and he does get the Marlins for the next 2 games. Also, having that velocity at 95 up to 96, even 95.5 on that four-seamer, is, of course, very good for Jake Irvin, who was around 93 and change at the beginning of the year. So I'm very curious to see if this does stick around for Jake Irvin. I still want to see like a slider involved here, maybe a changeup. We'll see over time, but this is kind of interesting, and maybe this does work as he gets the Marlins for 2 straight. With Arizona as a bullpen game, Bryce Jarvis went 3.2 innings without a strikeout, so no thank you. Caleb Ferguson also opened. It was for Ryan Papillo with the Dodgers, and he actually did really good. He did great things with 5 innings of 1 run ball, 5 strikeouts. His slider went 6 for 16 whiffs. His changeup, which has been known as his best pitch for a while, but has been very inconsistent, 67% strikes. Really good to see that, as he got lots of outs on it. And the four-seamer at 94 mile per hour surely isn't really that great, but it had a 39% CSW. I liked it from Papillo. I do wonder if you're going to see more of it now that Gonsolin is on the IL. So Papillo might be someone that you do want to consider picking up, as it is such a good situation with the Dodgers. And here's Julio Urias against the Marlins as well as a doubleheader. We had 3 different sets of doubleheaders yesterday because of Hurricane Hillary today. You have 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. And of course, everybody, please stay safe inside of Los Angeles. Treat this like a proper threat. You have Julio Urias hopefully getting his ace is going to ace label soon. I mean, it's such a good situation that he's in. The curveball's getting tons of called strikes. It's setting up the fastball well. The changeup's doing everything that you want it to do, getting a lot of strikes and outs and just being all reliable in that way. Yeah, it's really good for Julio Urias as well. Kodai Senga against the Cardinals got the win. 7 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. There's an argument to be made that Senga deserves ace is going to ace for the incredible run that he has been on. And I did not have faith early in the season because I didn't think that when the forkball was gone, that Senga could be good enough with the four-seamer cutter and slider. Slider's been mediocre. The fastball's not really that good. This was a start where the forkball only went 6 strikes total and 13 thrown. Only 4 whiffs. This was not the pitch that really did everything here. It was the cutter. And the cutter was much better here, has been better recently. Yeah, I got to be moving up Kodai Senga further up the list. This is pretty dang impressive what he's done, especially when the forkball's in there. I mean, yes, 22% CSW, but that's because he got out some play. Thank you, Cardinals bats. Zach Eflin has been great. Another guy that was skeptical on early in the season. I didn't really believe, like the fantasy community did, that going to Tampa Bay was all of a sudden going to fix him. It did. And he's been amazing, and it's pretty great. Matt Manning against the Guardians. Yeah, this is not something you should be leaning in on. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. 0 out of 36 whiffs on all secondary pitches. Sliders, changeups, and curveballs. 93 on the fastball. They were super hittable. The Guardians didn't punish him for whatever reason. No thank you. Carter Crawford did fine against the Yankees. Got the win. The Yankees, blame it on the Yankees, all that kind of stuff. He gets Houston twice and now the Rays. We move on from Carter Crawford. He's not doing something so exceptional for me to hold on to him for the next 3 starts. And we only have 6 weeks left of the fantasy baseball season. I know. It's amazing that it's just gone by so fast. It's not great. I'm not saying it's good. It's just blows my mind. And here we are. So do not hold on to Carter Crawford. I feel like you should be able to find something else to replace him for those 3 weeks. I don't want to start for at least 2 in Tampa Bay. Probably not. That's a very questionable one, too. Freddy Peralta is also making a case for Aces going to ace because he's just been so dang good for the last 7 starts. 37% strikeout rate, sub 3 ERA by 1 whip. It's crazy. 5.2 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 11 Ks here. Nearly got the golden gold too. 22 whiffs, matching Perez's, and 39% CSW, just a little bit less on the rate to compete for that golden gold. But this was against Texas. I mean, this was Texas and the Dodgers for those 2 guys. Insane, right? The 4-seamer was upstairs, and the secondary stuff was getting strikes in downstairs. That was the Blake Snell blueprint, which is so weird from Peralta, considering that his nickname was Professor Chaos, a guy who would just chuck things and not actually have intent. Oh boy, are we seeing another level of Freddy Peralta? We might be, and this is really, really cool. He gets the Padres next. Honestly, if he dominates them too, I'm giving him the label. He deserves it. He's just obviously become a different thing. Cole Irvin was a deeper streaming pick for yesterday's games, and guess what? He came through against the Athletics, 5 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He didn't get the win, unfortunately, but good stuff here, and he gets Rocky Road next. I think you want to go with that one. Justin Steele did good things against the Royals. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts, 13 whiffs, 32% CSW there. It wasn't the best command that I've actually seen from him, and I'm kind of waiting for that start where I can say, yes, there it is. But the sub performed really well, and yeah, we're just going to keep starting Steele with a beautiful schedule ahead. Mitch Keller did stupid good things. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk. Not great on the ratios part, but 12 strikeouts, 18 whiffs, 39% CSW as well. Oh my gosh. He's a cherry bomb, as I don't know if I can buy in on 8 over 31 cutters and 4 out of 18 sweepers as for whiffs, I should say. So that's 12 whiffs and about 50% of them, which is a 24% swing strike rate between the two of them, is excellent. We normally don't see Mitch Keller have that super high swing strike rate on those pitches, right? So really cool to see that. And then he elevated for 5 four-seamer whiffs as well. What is going on? So I don't know. I hope it's back. I hope it's the command going in. We got to do this, right? We got to lean in. But he's a cherry bomb, maybe. Maybe it's like the Andrew Heaney thing. So up to you what you want to do with Mitch Keller. Christopher Sanchez has been steady Eddie for you and did it once again against the Nationals. What's cool here, 6 innings of 2 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks, is that Christopher Sanchez's best pitch has been a changeup, and it was gone in this one. It was not good whatsoever in the slider, and the sinker stepped up, and it was cool. And now he gets the Cardinals, and we're still going to do it. And with Ranger Suarez on the IL, Christopher Sanchez, any sort of question mark you had about this, because 78 pitches here, but it was 6 innings. Yeah, he's still in the rotation. He's got it. All right, we have a lot more to talk about. Logan Gilbert doing well. You have Braxton Garrett as well, Tanner Bibee and Merrill Kelly and so many others after this break. This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? Then you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Logan Gilbert against the Astros got the win. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. The slider's looking great. The four-seamer is not. Come on! That was the thing, Gilbert! We thought the four-seamer would be there forever. Just get that four-seamer back, please, and don't lose the slider in the meantime. Chris Bassett against the Reds in Cincinnati got the win because you start him regardless of opponent. It just is what it is with Chris Bassett. Doesn't mean he's an ace. It just means that you just start him regardless of opponent, and it should be fine. Ken Waldachuk against the Orioles got you 7 Ks in 5.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, and 3 walks. The sweeper had more moments of success than we've seen in the past. We know how it can work with Waldachuk. It's just four seamers up and sweepers down and glove side. Just do that, kind of like the Justin Steele method, and Waldachuk can be very successful. The problem is I don't really buy his command still. So we don't really know. It's at best a cherry bomb as he goes against the White Sox for strikeouts, but I think the ratios are still going to be weird. Patrick Sandoval, 4.2 innings with 100 pitches, 10 base runners. Yeah, don't go after Patrick Sandoval. He can't have both the changeup and slider work in a given day. It's just not allowed. They've never been in the same room together. Braxton Garrett against the Dodgers, 6 innings of 300 runs, fine, poor quality start, 5 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. Wait a second. That's kind of good. And the cutter and slider command were better than I've seen for the past month, I think, for Braxton Garrett. I'm back in here. He just survived a two-step against the Astros and Dodgers. The one against the Astros was bad. He did not deserve that good one. It was a good outing result-wise, not good skills-wise. Much better here against the Dodgers. And now against the Nationals, I'm going to go after that one because I do want to think that Garrett does have that cutter and slider back. Merrill Kelly against the Padres, 5.1 innings of 3 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, 3 Ks. The changeup wasn't so terrible, but it didn't get the results we really wanted. Only 6% CSW, 50% strikes. He did get some outs with it while it was low. But yeah, just kind of too much stuff over the plate. And then also nibbling too much on the edges where batters were lost. It just wasn't a good Merrill Kelly start, right? He's better than this, and he should be moving forward. Tanner Bibee against the Tigers. 5 innings, 3 runs, you're instantly like, oh, come on, Bibee, but everything else is fine. It was 6 base runners and 6 Ks. And the thing about Bibee is I put out this video being like, I'm not that in on him because I don't really think that he's too good of a command specialist. Something he has done is improved his slider. It's a new shape to it. It's a little bit harder as well, and it could mean that, you know, he just gets away with more because of it. I think that it's kind of weird where the slider command sometimes is good enough, sometimes it's not. The changeup wasn't very good. The curveball wasn't good here. The four-seamer is decent in the top half. Like, it's above average as four-seamer, but it's not like his colleagues Gavin Williams' four-seamer. So, do I believe in Bibee mostly as a four-seamer slider guy? I guess so. I mean, we're going to keep starting him, but I really don't think that he's as polished as the results have been for your fantasy teams. Does that make sense? I know it's always so weird when I just don't agree with the results that happen and they just keep doing well and everything like that, and other people clearly like him. And I know it's not a fun thing. I just want to be more sold on the entire approach watching a Bibee start. That's all. Dane Dunning against the Brewers, 5 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. The cutter and slider are still good. They weren't overwhelming as we've seen, though, and it's not really enough for me to say, oh no, Dane Dunning's bad now. I'm like, no, he's fine. He gets the Twins next. I hope to see those, 20% swing strike rate that you saw in this one on those two pitches again, just a little bit more, like hopefully around like 50% usage. Sonny Gray had a careful Icarus as he allowed 3 runs in the 6th and then a 4th in the 7th. It's unfortunate because the sweeper was 65% strikes with 35% swing strike rate, and that's really good. So we're just going to keep going with Sonny Gray. Logan Webb faced the Atlanta Braves, and that's rough, and who cares? We just keep starting Logan Webb. Brandon Williamson against Toronto, 5.2 innings of 4 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He's kind of a discount Toby to me. I mean, he didn't really do anything too poor from a skills standpoint. This changeup was still kind of there, and he gets Arizona and at San Francisco and then the Mariners the next 3, and that's a much better situation than against the Jays. Do I have to go for it? No. The Diamondbacks could be whatever, and maybe he comes out in a big way against the Giants, but it's kind of a limited ceiling. And I think also his four-seamer and cutter do give him a good opportunity to get through games when the ball's in play. Kyle Freeland against the White Sox got a win, but yeah, I don't really dig Kyle Freeland, even if he is kind of doing a decent job of trying to keep his curves and changeups low, but they didn't really work out well. Just don't do Kyle Freeland. Yu Darvish introduced curves this time around, 20 of them. Didn't allow a single hit on them. They were good. He actually, between 40 sliders and curveballs, not including the sweeper, only one hit allowed on them, while he allowed 9 hits total, right? So he got singled out here by the Diamondbacks a decent amount. I think we still keep going with him. This felt like more of a deserving better than we got start than the other ones, which felt a little bit more weird. Yanni Chirinos, I don't know why he's still starting for Atlanta, honestly. 4 runs in 4 innings. Like, you have Winans, you have Soroka, you have AJ Smith-Shaver. Like, one of these should take his spot. Why is he still here? Brady Singer against the Cubs, 3.2 innings of 4 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And you think, oh no, here it is. The Vargas rule is over with Singer. No. He got singled out. His slider was still beautifully spotted. Singer got 12 called strikes, 11 whiffs on the slider. Like, it's all there. It's just, you know, baseball. Tyler Glasnow against the Angels. His slider got absolutely destroyed. 6 innings, 5 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, 7 Ks. Like, I'm amazed to see how many hits he allowed on his slider. I think it was 6, if not 7. It was ridiculous. Matt Waldron against the Diamondbacks. He's the only one that throws knuckleballs these days, but it was only 60% usage, and the other stuff, the fastball and the cutter, whatever. So we don't want to talk about Waldron. We have Chase Silseth against the Rays, 3.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. There has been a massive discussion over the past week or two about Cole Reagans versus Silseth. I've been on the Reagans train because Silseth had this start where it was 12 splitter whiffs and 9 on the slider. And I didn't think that the splitter whiffs were consistent. Now, in this one, we saw 35 of sliders and splitters combined, and it was 7 for 35 whiffs, right? Which isn't necessarily bad. I mean, that's fine. That's a, what is that, like near 20%? I believe that's a 20% swing strike rate between them. But here's the but, is that that only sets up like a fastball. Like, you need to have like a good fastball to pair with that. Otherwise, these pitches need to overwhelm for Silseth to be great. I'm not saying that this isn't good enough for you to hold, considering that, I mean, you just dealt with the Astros and you just dealt with the Rays, and we didn't really see the slider splitter do great things against the Astros. So, you know, maybe he's going to be better against the Mets and the Athletics after this. It's possible. I'm not saying don't hold on to him. I will note, though, Griffin Canning came in after Silseth for 52 pitches of 3.1 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. And it was a fastball and slider approach that was pretty dang good. I wonder if in 2 starts, Griffin Canning takes it from Silseth. We'll see what the Angels do here. Jesse Schultens in Rockies territory, that is, in Colorado. 3 innings of 5 earned runs. Womp, womp. Unfortunately, it didn't work out here. That said, I really liked his pitch separation. He really got those four-seamers up and those breaking balls down. Really did the Blake Snell blueprint. It was just a little too far off. And we've seen that from other guys before, where there's a difference between, you know, he had 5 walks and 2 Ks, and you see them because, oh, he has no command or anything. Not true. He's just nibbling a little too much. There's a huge difference than seeing the shotgun blast of a strike zone plot or those big clumps of precision, just not control, right? Control just being inside of the zone. So it does make me think that there is actually some sneaky potential here for Jesse Schultens against the Oakland Athletics next time out. I don't know if I'm going to do it for 12-teamers, but it's just in the back of my mind is like, well, actually, maybe he can actually tweak that a little bit and make that work. Framber Valdez, Gerrit Cole, both what the heck. Gerrit Cole, we just like, what are you going to do? He didn't have a slider whatsoever, and that was just terrible yesterday. Miles Michaelis, by the way, just don't stop. Don't roster Michaelis, 7 earned runs, 4.2 innings and against the Mets. Like, yeah, don't do it. But Framber Valdez, what the heck, right? Like, 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 10 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. He's been really bad for like 6 starts now, 7 of them, where the only respite was that no-hitter. And even in that no-hitter, I was like, that wasn't the best I've ever seen of Valdez. He's relying so much on the sinker and balls in play at this moment. I want to see the curve and cutter get more action. It was nice actually to kind of see some changeups show up yesterday. But it really does feel like everyone's just jumping on the sinker, and the sinker is not a good batted ball pitch. It just isn't. So I feel like there has to be some change here of approach here from Valdez to go away from the sinker and focus more on the cutter and the curve. And you would think that the Astros would lean on that, right? So I wonder where we're going to get. I think we just got to keep going with it. I mean, against the Tigers next, right? You got to start Framber Valdez against the Tigers. So we take it start by start from there. All right, looking forward to tomorrow's games. Actually, today's and tomorrow's games. I know they've already started, but I'm just going to talk about them briefly again. Zach Wheeler, Scherzer, and Fried, auto starts. Bradish, Hunter Brown. I know Hunter Brown did not do well, so unfortunately, that didn't work out. Eduardo Rodriguez, Logan Allen, Clark Schmidt, Nick Pivetta. Kyle Hendricks on that probable start. Two questionable start. Dylan Cease, JP Sears, Hunter Green, Hyunjin Ryu, and Emerson Hancock. Emerson Hancock left, I believe, with a strained lat. Well, Hunter Green just got destroyed by the Jays, and I'm probably not going to really care too much about it because it was still ill and against the Jays, so whatever. This is why we don't activate guys from their first start back. Do not start here is Dakota Hudson, Adrian Hauser, Chris Flexen, Trevor Williams, Jordan Lyles, Carlos Carrasco, Dallas Keuchel, Jacob Junis, and Oswaldo Beto. Now, tomorrow's starters. So on Monday, Luis Castillo, Blake Snell, Aaron Nola are in my auto start tier. I think that's pretty easy to go with there. You have Lucas Giolito, Jordan Montgomery, Jose Urquidy as the very clear, I think, probable starts. Then you have three others, Bryce Elder, Javier Assad, and Graham Ashcraft. And I thought about putting them in questionable start, but I realized, no, I would actually go with all three of these. Bryce Elder, I think, is a very good Toby with a good win chance against the Mets. He does get really good sinker and slider pitch separations, what we want to see. Javier Assad has been solid for the Cubs. It's they're winning games, and it's against Detroit, and good cutters down and good fastballs. Like I think it works here. And Graham Ashcraft has been a Vargas role. It's a 2.17 ERA, I think, over his last 7 or 9 starts or something. It's kind of wild, and I know it's the Angels, but I feel like if you have Graham Ashcraft, you're going to do it. And that means we have zero questionable starts. Kind of weird to see that with a somewhat filled slate. I've never done it for like a full 30 pitchers. This is 20 of them, but still, it's kind of wild for me to do that. But yeah, I didn't see anyone that is questionable because in the do not start tier, you have Tanner Houck against the Astros, and that's not something I want to do. It's his first start returning to the rotation. I'm excited about it, but it's the Astros. You don't want to do it. Bailey Falter could be interesting against the Cardinals, but I don't think it's that good. It's not like something that I get excited about. Like, no, you know what? Maybe there isn't really some upside to get. Like, it's just not really worth it to chase. Alex Fajardo against the Cubs. Yes, he had a good slider last time, but the other stuff isn't very good, and it's the Cubs. I don't want to do it. Matthew Liberatore just got trounced by the Athletics. Like, no. It's fastball is back down to 92 and change. I don't want to do it against the Pirates. Johnny Cueto has some magic, but it's against the Padres. Alec Marsh gets the Athletics, but it's Alec Marsh. Alex Wood might be getting 5 innings because it's Junis today, and then it might be Alex Wood tomorrow. We'll see. Does that make it worse, though? Because he wouldn't be in there maybe in the 6th inning when he would get a possible win. Not great. Tuukka Dasent is a strikeout play against the Mariners, but the ratios are not good. Kyle Muller's returning. I don't know what we're going to see, and the Royals have been kind of a hot bat, and then you have Slay Sassone and David Peterson getting the Rangers in Atlanta, so no thank you whatsoever for all of those guys. All right, that is it for today. Make sure you go to playback.tv/Petros to watch me not only stream in weekday mornings, but also for the list tomorrow starting at 2 p.m. Also, I should mention, I'm going away to San Francisco in California starting on Thursday. That means my podcasts are going to be coming out in the evening. And also the streaming picks. I'm going to be, when it comes to California, I can't be putting these things out as I normally do. It'll be 3 hours later and it's already late. So can't do that. Got to do it all the night before, which is going to be a little less accurate. I'm so sorry. I apologize for that, but I'm not going to be waking up at 6 a.m. I just can't live like that to have the normal schedule. So, but that is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.